Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. My entire life as a Christian, it's been probably the biggest subject of discussion in Christian circles. More books, articles, you name it, produced on the subject of evangelism and Christian witnessing. It is, and if you look at literature, Christian literature before that, they talk about it, but they speak much more of it in terms of missionary work. Maybe it's because the world was left less developed or people had not covered the entire globe yet, but there's a lot of writing and publishing about Christian witnessing. What's missing from so much of it, and what does it mean to actually be a Christian witness? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to discuss witnessing in everyday life with the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ. We're going to be talking with him for the next half hour or so about how we go about witnessing and why we go about witnessing. Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Wood, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's great to be back with you.
Christian witness has been the subject of countless books and articles and church programs for at least a half a century. What is often missing from these treatments of the subject?
Well, in a word, grace. Most of the things that we've seen come out, primarily from outside of Lutheran circles, has been law-based. And that's often very burdensome for people, you know, when they're being bombarded by the law saying this is what you must do, this is what you have to do. And even in some cases, the results are you're responsible for that. And so if your friend or loved one is not a Christian and they're going to hell, well, that's your fault. It's your responsibility. And those law-based approaches to witnessing have really not just been a burden for people, but they've actually hindered people from freely sharing the gospel of Jesus.
Let's start with the most basic question, which is, what is a witness?
Simply put, a witness is somebody who speaks to what they know is true. So if you are a witness in a courtroom, you're called to be a witness to talk about, well, what it is that you know to be true. And so as a Christian witness, we speak what we know to be true. We speak the word of God. We share what we know about the story of Jesus.
Is Martin Luther overstating the case when he says that God has put us here only to help our neighbor so that our neighbor might hear of Jesus?
I'd like to think not, though, you know, it's arguable. And Martin Luther has been known to overstate things. But when you get down to it, you go, why are we on this earth? You know, what's God's purpose of leaving us here? It's not our home. It's a place of sorrow and suffering and tears. And much of what we do on earth that's pleasing to him, we'll be doing in heaven perfectly, worship and praise. And so while we're here on this earth, we're here to serve our neighbor and to love our neighbor. And there's no greater service, there's no greater love than to share the good news of Jesus with people so that they too would receive his good gifts of love and grace and forgiveness. When we get down to it, that's the reason we're here. That's why God has us in this world.
Another basic question, who are the lost?
Yeah, the word lost is an interesting word in a, you know, an everyday sense of the word. It's lost people are anything that's lost is something that's not where it's supposed to be. If you normally hang your car keys on a hook and you go to the hook and they're not there, they're lost. You know, now you're looking for them because they're not where they're supposed to be. God created us to be in relationship with him, and sin broke that relationship, and God wants people to be reconciled with him. He wants them to be in a relationship with him, and when people aren't, they're lost. So anybody who does not have faith in Jesus is lost. And we talk about those people in a couple different categories. Unchurched people, those are people who've never had a connection to a Christian church. and de-churched people, people who were once connected to a Christian church but no longer are, they're not where they should be. They're not part of the body of Christ. Saying that they're lost is not, you know, a judgment in terms of their character or their evil or, you know, that we're better than them. It's just simply acknowledging that they're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, and we want, with God's blessing, to bring that word of God to them that can reconcile them to the Father, that can bring them into that saving relationship.
We often think of Christian witness as a part of some congregation's or denomination's formal program. How would you correct this?
In the first place, there is a place for programs, but the program is the resource for equipping people. It isn't the work itself. So programs like Everyone is Witness, the evangelism resource that the Synod has created, that's helpful. It's a resource to equip people, but the actual witnessing isn't done through a program, and it's not done programmatically. Witnessing is always a person-to-person. It's one person, a believer in Jesus Christ, who's bringing the good news of life and salvation to somebody, another person who doesn't know that. Programs are useful and helpful, but and they have their place. But when it gets down to witnessing, it's person to person, life on life.
So how is Christian witness connected to the Christian congregation?
I like to talk about this in terms of, you know, the means of grace. The work of our witness is to take the means of grace to people. Now, particularly the means of grace that's entrusted to us in our, as we go out as the church scattered, is the Word of God. So we're taking the Word of God to people, but we also want to bring people to the Word of God. We want to bring people to the means of grace, and that's something that takes place in our local congregation. So our work is witnessing. It begins with taking the Word to people, but it isn't done yet. Yeah, we want to bring people to the assembly of believers. We want to bring them into the community of Christ where they can continue to receive the good gifts of God.
You spoke about this earlier, but what is the motivation for Christian witness?
The motive is love. I mean, the love we have for Christ, and we know that His desire is for all people to hear the good news, for all people to come to faith. We know that's not how things are going to work out, but we know that's His heart. And our love for Him moves us to want to share the message of His love for the world, but also our love for our neighbor. We have people all around us who are perishing. They don't know the good news of Christ, and our love for them is to bring them that good news. Now, we love our neighbor in other ways, too, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Was Martin Luther overstating his case? Because we are called to love our neighbor and to show works, you know, actions that are merciful, to do human care, to meet the needs of people in this world. But the greatest need everyone has is to know of Christ. And so the greatest love that we have for our neighbor is expressed when we share that love of Christ with them in word. Because faith comes from hearing and hearing of the word of Christ, it says in Romans 10. And for all that other work we do, all that mercy work, all that care that we show, it's fortified, it's underpinned by sharing the word of God that is the ultimate act of love that we have for our neighbor.
You say that witness is contextual. What do you mean by that?
Well, it means that there's no scripting. We don't come into a witnessing situation with preconceived ideas of what we're going to say, and we don't want to follow, you know, some pre-programmed script or dialogue. Instead, what we want to do is come into the situation trying to understand where the other person is coming from. There's so many facets to the gospel, looking at the situation, talking to people, listening, and determining which of those facets of the gospel is particularly of interest to this person, which one fits this situation. And we have the riches of God's word to draw from. We're not limited to one little script or one little section of scripture. We have the whole of God's word that we can bring to bear. So figuring out, you know, what to share with someone is driven by the context of that conversation and relationship. So that's what I mean when I say it's contextual.
You use the analogy of plowing, planting, harvesting. Let's start with plowing. Why is that a good comparison for witnessing?
Well, I love those analogies from, you know, that Jesus drew from agriculture. So it's fair to use them since he used them. And they're timeless, and they cross over all cultures as well. And we're very familiar with the idea of planting and watering, and even the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out to sow his seed. What I tried to do in the book was back that up a little bit. You know, the sower isn't going to go out and sow his seed unless he's first prepared the soil. That's just basic farming. Before we go out and start witnessing in terms of planting, we should think about what plowing needs to be done, because hearts are hardened, and we see that in our culture today, especially, that people are closed to the gospel. So there might be some preparatory work before we get to sowing the seed of God's word, where we have to listen and ask and seek out that context. Where is this person coming from? What's going on? You know, what's their predisposition toward hearing the word of God? What experiences have they had with the church, if any? So that's the plowing. That's kind of breaking up that hard ground, getting it ready to share the word of God.
In that stage, what place does prayer play in Christian witness?
Well, prayer is an important part of our witness. As Jesus said, you know, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. The thing is that some evangelism programs have made prayer more than it really is. The reality is we're not going to pray anybody into the kingdom of God. We want to pray. We're called to pray. But first to pray for workers to be sent. And when we pray that prayer, we should be mindful that the worker God may have in mind in this situation is me. So the willingness to answer that call if it comes. The second aspect of prayer and witnessing is it shifts our focus away from me, away from my abilities, away from my track record even, if you will, and focuses instead on the Holy Spirit. And our prayer is always that call and cry to the Holy Spirit to work faith. Now, he's going to do that when and where he wills in those who hear the gospel. And our role is to share the gospel. But our fervent prayer is that the Holy Spirit would use our feeble efforts to bring forth the faith that he desires to bring forth. So our prayer refocuses us and keeps things in perspective.
Dr. Mark Wood is our guest, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. Why is listening important to Christian witness? We'll answer that question next. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with the Lord's command, "Woe to me, a servant of all," disciplining the body, and that rock was Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things. the love of Christ, and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Ad Crucem is a Christian greeting card, jewelry, art, gift, and housewares company. Ad Crucem is Latin for to the cross. Check out their Christ-centered cross-focused products for home and church at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com. We're talking about witnessing in everyday life with Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Wood, why is listening important to Christian witness?
Listening is a very important part of witnessing, and it's often overlooked as though it isn't witnessing. It can be the most powerful part of our witness, especially in our world today where people are not accustomed to listening and are not really used to having someone carefully listen to them. And I think many people are just starving for someone to listen to their concerns, their complaints, their questions, their wrestlings, but so many of us are just so busy and distracted that we don't listen. Listening is the key to really beginning to understand where this person is at and where they're coming from. There are so many different worldviews in our culture today, and Christianity is not the predominant one. You know, if we have these competing worldviews, and we can't assume that a person has any familiarity at all with the Christian faith, or the Word of God. And that's something that 50, 60 years ago wasn't the case. You know, most Americans had some familiarity. We could assume certain things. But today, our assumption should be that they don't, and instead they've embraced a different worldview. And by listening to the person, we begin to understand what worldview they do hold. And that's the starting point for us to begin to understand what aspect of the gospel we can share with them, what part of God's word we can draw on to speak to the context that they're coming from. So there's no substitute for listening because the only thing we can do other than listen is assume. That's often misleading and misguiding to us.
Extending Jesus' analogy, how is Christian witness like planting?
Well, the planting metaphor is, you know, in the parable, the seed is the word of God. And so our witness is always going to be centered in the Word of God. And our desire is to get to the point where we can actually share God's Word with a person. And that's like putting the seed into the ground. We can't control what happens after that seed is planted, but we know that, you know, the seed goes forth and it brings forth fruit according to God's Word and promise, according to His desire, as we're reminded in Isaiah 55. So in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul uses this imagery too. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And that's really drawing on as we talk about planting, watering, and anticipating the growth. God has called us to specific roles in that process. And our role is in planting, sharing the Word of God, and watering, nurturing that Word.
What is the specific content that's planted? What is the specific content of Christian witness?
It's always God's word. I like to talk about that as it's Jesus' story, you know, and that's what we aim to share with people. It's become very popular in evangelism programs to share my story. And I'm concerned about that for a couple different reasons. First of all, my story isn't going to save anybody. My story is the saving story. It's not the story of a savior. It's the story of me. And maybe, you know, it's how the savior's worked in my life, and that's all well and good. But it's not necessarily how the savior's working in this other person's life. Now, there are times when my story can get to Jesus' story. It's a bridge, and that's fine. That's a good use of it. But my concern is that my story emphasis is playing into the thinking of postmodernism. And the response of the postmodern to my story is, hey, I'm glad that worked for you. I'm glad that's your truth, but I have my own truth. And it's sort of a trap, you know, the postmodern trap. And so it's the argument that, well, nobody can argue with your story because your story is true, makes truth relative. Instead, we want to share Jesus' story, absolute truth. And whether a person believes it or not, you know, we don't have any control over that. That's the Holy Spirit's business. But our business is making sure we tell people Jesus' story.
Talk about the application of law and gospel in Christian witness.
Well, as witnesses, we're called to share the truth in love. And the truth is God's word, and God's word is rightly divided between law and gospel. And sometimes people are just quick to rush to the gospel. Jesus loves you, your sins are forgiven, and it's just more noise in a very noisy world because the law has yet to do its work in a person's life. So if somebody is unrepentant, if somebody's comfortable in their sin, we need to have the courage and the love to speak the law to them. How we speak the law is important too, and to speak the law in love. If we're called to speak the truth in love, then we're called to speak the law in love and let the law do its work. And then when the law has done its work, you know, and this is something that we learn by listening and asking and seeking. When we can see the law has done its work, then we should be sharing the gospel. We don't want to continue burdening somebody with the law. We want to bring that life-saving, life-giving message of Jesus' love and forgiveness to that person.
You also use the watering analogy. Tell us about that.
Well, like in any planting, watering or nurturing is an important part of the role of the one who's called to grow a crop, if you will. So the farmer doesn't just put the seed in the ground and forget about it. There's the nurturing of the soil, you know, fertilizing, there's watering, there's weeding. And so there's a lot of work to be done after we have the opportunity to share the word of God with somebody initially to nurture that word of God by continuing to share God's word. So we want to find ways to continue the conversation about Jesus that we've begun so that it's not just a one and done. So any farmer who would just put the seed in the ground and ignore it and hope for a harvest is going to be disappointed. Our role in evangelism or witnessing is to both plant that seed and then, as we're able to nurture it with more of God's word. And then, of course, trust the Holy Spirit to bring forth the harvest.
Talk about the place of patience in Christian witness.
You know, the patience is waiting for that harvest. And we can do the planting and we can do the nurturing or watering, but it may take time. It may not happen as we anticipate it. My grandfather had a farm. I used to love to go out there in the farm. And my favorite time was harvest time when you got to eat all the great vegetables and things that he grew. But there were times when I was there where there wasn't much to do. And he would sit in a chair and just look out at the field. And I always wondered about that. I see that now as his patience. He knew it was coming. He had done his work. He'd planted. He'd nurtured. Now he was waiting for everything to take its place, for the harvest to come. And so there's that joyful anticipation of the harvest that we have as witnesses. And we don't want to rush things along. We don't want to force the fruit. We don't want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. This calls for our patience then. So we've done what we can do. Now we pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to work faith when and where He wills.
In that vein, will we necessarily see the fruit of our witness?
Absolutely. We will definitely see the fruit of the harvest, but we may not see it in this life. But one day, we're going to gather around the throne of Jesus, and we're going to be with thousands upon thousands and ten thousands upon ten thousands. And among those people who gather around the throne will be some of the people whom we witness to. And it may be the first time we see the fruit. God may give us the pleasure of seeing it in this life, but we'll definitely see it either now in time or later in eternity.
Finally, what would you say to a listener who says, look, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a pastor, I'm just an ordinary Christian. I wouldn't know where to begin witnessing.
I tell you, well, good. It's good that you're not a pastor or a theologian because there are people in your life, whether they're friends or family members or neighbors or coworkers, whatever, whoever they may, there are people in your life your pastor will never have the opportunity to speak to. And God has put you in their lives as his witness. So good. You don't have to worry about the barrier of being a pastor because you're a friend or you're a family member or you're a coworker and you're a witness. And you do know where to begin. Begin by listening. Listen to what people are talking about. Listen to where their concerns are. Listen for the opportunity to bring what you know to be true to the people you love who are perishing. And what you know to be true is the story of Jesus. And you know the story of Jesus. So listen, ask, seek the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance, pray, and the Lord will use you as the instrument he's chosen you to be, his witness, and he'll use you in ways that will amaze and surprise you and bring you great joy. And that's the thing I really encourage people to do is be a joyful witness. This is not a burden. This is not a task God has laid on us to make us suffer. Instead, it's an invitation into the thing that's closest to his heart, that the gospel would go to those who are perishing and they would be saved.
Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and the Revitalization Initiative for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. You can purchase Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Dr. Wood, thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Are we finally getting a little bit of pushback on the transgender agenda from the mainstream? We'll answer that question and others as we talk science and transgenderism with Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family next. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We confess that the Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the Church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy, Catholic, apostolic Church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the Church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the Church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Are you an investor looking to support the bold and loving work of LCMS churches? Is your church or organization ready to do bold and loving work? This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org. That's 800-843-5233, lcef.org.